to rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around. Ayo's house
in the middle of our street.
Ayo's house.
Isles House post-trade deadline edition. Before we get into all the news, two games, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow all of us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Jack at Isles Den. Follow Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. And Greeny, producer Greeny, at eGreenberg99. Don't forget to follow the Isles House account as well at Isles House. And subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Guys, crazy trade deadline for the New York Islanders. We recorded a pre-deadline episode, did a Twitter Spaces approximately an hour before Brock Nelson got traded, did another one at about 3:30 right after the trade deadline ended, and now we're here for the mega episode. We've got two West Coast games to cover, a trade deadline, sources, Staples back. It's unbelievable. I don't know what happened to the guy, but all of a sudden he's back like he never left. Jack, I'll throw it to you first for your usual recap.
Yeah. So the deadline came, the deadline went. It was, I think we were kind of surprised to see Nelson only moved, no Palmieri. Even more surprised now that we haven't heard of an extension, and feels like that's pretty up in the air, but it was nice to finally get back to watching some hockey. Also, they played the Sharks. They had, I think they got outshot like 20-2 in the first period. They went on to win the game. My favorite part of the game personally is when Anders Lee thought he scored. It went to review and we got a Sharks fan trying to hand the refs a $100 bill.
That Jackie was, viral.
Went a little viral there. That was definitely the most memorable moment of that game. And then we watched the Islanders go to Anaheim yesterday. And Anaheim's been trending up as of late. So I expected it to be a harder game than it's been in past years. It's not quite the auto W it once was. And we learned the hard way, the very hard way, because, man, that was some of the most unwatchable hockey I've seen this team play in years. And a lot of times when the Islanders are off, I've said on this show that I'm going to feel refreshed when I see them play. I'm genuinely scared to see them play tomorrow night because I can't watch what I saw last night, but it might be time to start expecting that. But I'll pass it off to PSG.
Yeah, kind of a crazy week for us. Probably our busiest since we started recording overall. Ton of emotions throughout the Thursday, Friday, and then into the Saturday as far as the trade deadline. I know we're going to get into all that. Appreciate everyone who joined us on both spaces that we did, which were both a lot of fun. As far as the games, yeah, it was just ugly. I feel like we spoke about a number of times on this pod how the new additions to the defense were sort of looking good, but it would eventually come back around. And now it really feels like it's come back around. And the guy that we claimed on waivers and the guy that we signed out of Russia suddenly aren't looking as great. And it's come crashing back down to earth. They've traded a couple guys. I don't want to get too deep into the recaps because I feel like we have a lot to discuss. But yeah, it was pretty ugly. And I think it's going to get a little uglier as the schedule gets tougher here down the stretch run into April the rest of the way.
Yeah. Greeny can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure the Islanders get their shit kicked in every time they play at LA.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't even need to look it up.
Great. Great. All right. So it's good to hear that both Rocco and Jack are not moved by 4C Adam Boqvist, but we move. And all right. So the trade deadline, Brock Nelson moved to the Colorado Avalanche for a conditional first round pick, Callum Ritchie, and potentially a third round pick if the Avalanche win the Stanley Cup, which very within the realm of possibility here. All right.
And you should explain the condition for the first round pick.
I will do my absolute best, Greeny. So
you do that.
The pick is owned by Philadelphia for 2025. If it is a top 10 pick, that is not happening.
If it isn't a top 10 pick.
I can't even do it. There's two conditions on it. So wait, it's the pick is, all right, Greeny.
Are you going to tag me in? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm tagging you in.
So The Avalanche do not have their first round pick this year. Like you said, they're not going to be picking in the top 10.
Right.
That pick goes to Philadelphia. So the condition that the Islanders
if it's a top 10 pick in 26.
Correct.
Then, yes.
If the Avalanche are terrible next year and they're picking in the top 10, the Avalanche keep their first next year and the Islanders get their 2027 first round pick.
Which, again, not very likely, barring Correct. A catastrophic injury to Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. But those
it's
are the
basically
conditions.
Basically twice top 10 protected. Easy way to put it.
Yes.
That's top 10 protected twice.
Yep. Easiest way to put it. Thank you, Rocco. All right. So Brock Nelson going to Colorado, reuniting with Islander Devin Taves. And in
Devin.
Return, Devon,
Thank
Devin,
you.
Who cares? Hasn't been an Islander in a while. Jonathan Taves' brother, as everyone knows him as. So Callum Ritchie is the return. I don't really know what else to say here. This is going to sort of bleed into the next topic regarding Lou's media availability and the comments that he spoke publicly in regards to the negotiations he was having with Brock Nelson, Kyle Palmieri, the Islanders' plan moving forward. But to me, it really feels like Brock Nelson sort of saved the Islanders, and Lou's comments after the trade deadline don't really jive with his actions. He really wanted to and tried to extend both Brock Nelson and Kyle Palmieri before the 3 o'clock Friday deadline. That did not happen. I was told, and it was later confirmed, I think I tweeted this out publicly, that the issue with Brock was term. Now, the rumors are that he was offered around a 7 or 7.5 a year for 3 years. So that 3 to 4 year, that fourth year brings him to what, his age 38 season or 39 season, something like that. Probably some term and a cap hit that most fans aren't going to be comfortable swallowing, especially for a guy that age and whose play is declining year over year. Now, obviously a great addition for a team that is in win now mode. You know, the guy can still pot 30, especially if he's playing in a top six with McKinnon, Natchez, and Nichushkin and whoever else. And I think he was on power play one last night, or he is tonight.
He just got moved in tonight.
Yeah. So I saw that on Twitter. So listen, he's going into a high octane offense, and I feel like a lot of Islanders fans might have seller's remorse seeing the numbers that he puts up in that offense. I just want people to remember that we are talking about the Colorado Avalanche. So again, after the trade deadline, Lou comes out and says, yes, I tried to extend them, but at the same time, I understand that we need to get younger. We need to get faster. And we're going to all give our opinions on the media availability, but to me, the actions speak louder than the words. I really think that we're in for an interesting offseason. Staples said so much in his piece. Things that Rocco and I have heard sort of jive with that as well. But you can't simultaneously go out there and say, yes, I want to get younger and I want to get faster and more skilled and more talented, while also offering a guy a 4-year deal at a $7.5 million AAV who's going to be 34 at the start of that contract. Because we're going to get into Ethan saving the Islanders later in the episode, where I sort of break down my future vision for the team. But it sort of becomes, I don't want to say impossible, but nearly impossible to maneuver the salary cap, even with the increase, if you have both Brock and Palmieri accounting for over 10, probably 11.5 million a year for at least the next 2 to 3 years. So
Ethan,
that's my thoughts on the Brock trade before we get into Callum Ritchie.
I know you were pretty up on everything behind the scenes. I want to just ask you quickly before we move on. Now, had Nelson extended, like say he agrees to that 3 by 7.5, which was the rumored offer, does Lou still attempt and accept keeping Palmieri? Or was
I think
it
so. I mean,
after the Brock situation, then it opens the door back up for Palms?
Yeah,
that's
listen,
how
I
interpreted it early on, is that he was waiting on Brock, waiting on Brock, waiting on Brock. And then obviously Brock had to go. And then the door opened. The options basically opened for Palms.
I sort of read it the opposite way, in which if I was told that if Brock was to say, all right, that's it, negotiations have broken down, I'm done, I'm out of here, that Palmieri would be out the door. Now, obviously, he has stated his desire to stay. Lou has reiterated that. And in Staple's piece that came out today, he said, listen, Palmieri was very much made available. The market just wasn't there for him. And he would have been traded had, I mean, listen, the reports were a second round pick and a B prospect. We saw that floating around on Friday afternoon. Staple confirmed that those were the rumors going around. And I think, we had spoken about it. What would everyone be comfortable with Palmieri? Originally, I think everyone, I'd said it a few episodes ago. Listen, Brock's probably going to get a late first and a B prospect. We all sort of agreed on that. And the market heated up in a big way. We obviously got a late first, or what's likely a late first, and an A prospect, and a potential third as well. So I think that with that market inflation, I assumed that they could get a first and the first would be fair. That obviously didn't materialize. And we didn't see any other wingers get moved for a super high price other than Mikko Rantanen, who controlled where he wanted to go. And he came with the extension as well. So you're going to get a pretty big return for that. But as far as the winger market goes, it was certainly weak. We saw Vancouver. You can probably touch on that, Rocco, with Brock Besser. So I think Carolina came in late with an
Yeah,
offer
with
of
the
a first
first
round
and
pick, but that was
right.
super late in the process. Vancouver didn't want to do that. So it is what it is. But I was under the impression, based on what I heard, that if Brock was out, Palmieri was out. I don't really know the opposite in terms of the cap maneuverability if they would have brought back Palmieri also.
Yeah, I mean, it's just how it happens behind the scenes. We see it in other leagues too, whether it's the NHL, the NFL, MLB, things change very quickly. You think one guy's getting traded or one guy's getting signed, and then the next minute, things turn. So, Ethan, you could agree with this. Sometimes we hear things behind the scenes, and then suddenly an hour later, it changes from one phone call. Happens all the
Right.
time. But yeah, I mean, with the Brock deal, I think we all agreed we liked the Brock deal as a whole when we're just talking about the return there. Grade A prospect, and not only a grade A prospect, one that is. Probably I'd put it at 90%. He's going to be in the lineup next year, if not more. I mean, he
Oh,
was
it's
just,
100. It's 100.
yeah, it's a bar. I leave the 10% just if something happens in camp, he doesn't look good, whatever. But he's
I
most
think you said
likely.
it best. The guy cracked the Avalanche roster out of camp.
Right.
He's cracking this Islanders roster out of camp, and let's hope he sticks around. He sort of had like a Barzell tryout for
Right.
those first
Exactly.
seven games. I think he actually had the same exact
And didn't
stat
burn
line.
the first year of the
Right.
ELC, as Lou said. And that was a good. I got to give it to Lou. I know we're going to get into the presser. He did well in the presser. I will give him that. And he just like with what he said with Richie, they asked him, hey, you're going to call him up this year, maybe this and that. No, we're not burning the first year of the ELC. Good move. Wait till next year. And it's a guy you fill in. So that I thought just the Brock move on its own, I thought was very solid, very good. As Ethan said, he probably did us a favor by not re-signing because I know it was short term. But I would not have liked that 7.5 AAV. I know the cap's going up. I don't care. Wasn't a fan of it. I'm not really a huge fan even of the alleged AAV going around about Palmieri, which is a 4.5. It's fine. It's fine. I don't love it. That's how I'd put it. It's okay. I'm not jumping for joy that he's coming back at 4.5 if he does end up signing.
Well, I think it does fit. Jack, we'll get to your thoughts on the Brock trade in a second. What I was told on Palmieri. So, all right, the Palmieri timeline is Staple tweets the Brock news. I'm told, listen, Palmieri's gonna get shopped. They're gonna field offers on him. The next morning, I'm told that Palmieri is looking for an Eberle-ish contract. Eberle got 4 by 4.75, sorry, 2 by 4.75 from Seattle. So I hear that. And then almost immediately after, Jason Zucker re-ups in Buffalo for 2 by 4.5. So I figure, okay, that's the Palmieri market, veteran winger, half point per game kind of guy moving forward. That's probably what he's looking at. The fact that it's not done leads me to believe that, like Brock, this is a term issue and that they're very likely fighting over between 2 and 3 years and why it's not done yet. So I believe that the desire to be back is mutual. I do have confidence that it's going to happen. And I think the holdup is just going to be the term. Jack, why don't you give us your thoughts on the Brock trade?
So this is just the Brock trade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do Palmieri too if you'd like.
Yeah. So with Brock, I'll go from Brock to Palmieri because I think they kind of come together.
I agree.
I give Lou a 100 on that trade.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's a hot take or anything.
No,
You traded
I think
in.
Rocco and I didn't really touch on that. We're huge fans of the trade.
Yeah,
The
great
return was
trade.
great.
Yeah,
And
it's a
at the presser, the fact that he said, I wasn't accepting anything less than a top prospect, and he got it. Like, that's, you got to respect that. But go on, Jack.
Yeah, the reason why I give him that 100 is because not only did he get a great prospect and one that league executives were drooling over, according to the Daily Faceoff, but he got a center that's 20 years old that could literally slot right in next year. That's great work. He got two early round picks. I mean, one's a first, one's a third. I'm not sure of all the conditions on all of that, but just seeing that come in, I thought was really encouraging. Yeah, great move all around. And it, to go into the Palmieri part of it, so keeping Palmieri, I actually don't think would have even, I don't think it would have made sense without this trade. And the reason being is next season, what I'm hoping for is that this team slots Barzal as their first line center, puts Horvat as their second line center, and you start Richie as your third line center. And what this does is now you have a 20 goal scorer that I'm not going to call him a 30 goal scorer, as some fans have been, some of the Leafs supporters have been saying on Twitter. I think that's a little bit, I think that's some propaganda there. We'll pencil him in for 20 goals next year. I like him at that price. And with those centers, with the center depth lowering, you need reliable wingers. And to get one at a cheap price that you know what you're going to get, Palmieri is a sure thing. And that's what I love about it. Like, you just never know who you're going to bring in, how they're going to perform. I just feel safe betting on Palmieri. And I think given the Brock move and the center acquisition, I just think it's a perfect fit. So I was happy with the deadline, but the only reason I'm happy with it is because I look at it as a part one. There's going to be a part two. And I even thought this before the Staple article and before he spoke. There's going to be more, and I understand why that doesn't have to be right now, but it certainly has to come.
Yeah, I think the only questions we have remaining about the deadline is what is really the team's vision or identity going to be for the last 20 games or so? I mean, we just saw two pretty bad West Coast games, and their center depth is terrible without Brock. So you sort of just ask the question, what? I get it. You're 4 points out. You have still some veterans in the lineup. You've got Pageau, Palmieri's playing, Horvat, Lee. You go to the back end, Pelech, Pulak. Like, you don't want to wave the white flag because you don't want all these guys to just get demoralized. But at the same time, you're losing your best pure goal scorer at this junction of the season. To me, like, the message is there. You know, I don't know how a team running Pageau, McLean, Cizikas, slash Boqvist down the middle is really just like radiating positivity and confidence in this roster, which is why I'm sort of a little peeved they didn't just take what they could get for Palmieri, because I'm sort of the mindset rip the Band-Aid off. But listen, if the guy wants to be here, you guys are gonna take a little walk with me later when I break down my vision for this team, and he fits perfectly into the vision. And I think, just a little hint, little teaser for later in the episode, I do think that he fits perfectly as a winger who is being centered by Callum Ritchie. So we will see.
Well, I have a couple of questions for you. I also have a thought on the deadline that I wanted to bring up in the spaces, but there were too many other questions. First, my question for all three of you is, if we have to grade the deadline as a whole, what are you guys giving it? This is not a pass-fail situation, Ethan. This is a grade.
That's fine. I'm happy to give it a grade. If I really had to think of it, and it's because of what Jack said. Jack is entirely correct when he says that this is really a part one. So if I were to grade the deadline in a vacuum, I'm giving it an A minus. If I'm grading it, considering just the future of the team, the off season, Lou's presser, what he tried to do and couldn't do, then really it's a C or a C plus, something around there. Again, actions speak louder than words, and we're going to see if those words really spur Lou into action this coming off season. Does he actually want to get younger? Are there some guys that he's really going to have these hard conversations with and ship out? Is he going to really need to get tough? Is he going to have to be an asshole to some of these guys? Some guys who, and we'll talk about it, who he gave 7-year extensions to. You're going to need to be clearing some cap space if you truly want to get younger and get better and maybe bring in a marquee free agent if that's a swing that you want to take. And that just doesn't jive with offering Brock Nelson a 3x7 or 7.5 and a Palmieri 2 or 3x4.5. Like committing that much cap space to two guys who are 34, 35. I don't know what Palmieri is going to be, 36 next season, something like that. Like it just doesn't add up to me. So again, there's chance for Lou to take a makeup test here in the off season and go from that C plus to an A, maybe a little extra credit, and we'll see. So those are my grades.
Yeah,
Rocco? I'll call it a midterm instead of
I like that.
we'll call this the midterm. I'll give him a B on the midterm. We'll see how he does on the final. A lot of pressure on that final. Needs a good grade to move on. Yeah, I just give it a B because I really felt that night that the Brock trade went down after seeing that return. And I think I speak for all of us here. We had a lot of confidence that there might have been another move or two, and not only be another move or two, but a nice return. I think I just said it in the group chat before to you guys. When the Brock trade went down, I thought we were getting a first for Palms. I'm not gonna lie. I thought we were
Same.
finding a way to get a first from, I even thought of teams like the teams that missed out on Brock, right? You think of a Winnipeg, you think of a New Jersey, a Toronto. I thought maybe you could have squeezed a one out of them. And I thought maybe in some of those conversations, Lou might be saying, we have Palms too. So if you're not the one to land Brock, we'll call you back on Palms, something like that. And obviously what happened happened. We're looking more so at an extension. And I agree with what Ethan said before. It seems somewhat hypocritical to say we're getting younger and we're looking for XYZ, yet you have a contract for a 34-year-old in the drawer. So it does bug me a little bit. I know a lot of people are against this. I would have taken a second and a B prospect for Palms. I'm not ashamed to say that. I know a lot of people argue, oh, it's just a second. You don't know what a draft pick is, yada, yada. But we forget that every player in this league was pretty much just a draft pick at one point. And you have to have a good scouting department and you have to find a way. You do find some gems in the second round. It's not that far-fetched. But, they didn't do it. It is what it is. And I thought Jack made a great point too with, moving Barzal to center, right? Lou can set this up nicely in the summer where you move Barzal to center, you have Barzal, Horvat, Richie, and then McLean or Cizikas or whomever, like Jack said. And the smart part about this is, as we know from asset management in the NHL, the cheapest thing to pay and or acquire via trade is a winger. So if you're out there throwing out assets for wingers, you could probably get some things done if your only true needs in the offseason is wingers. Which it may be, because they do have a glut of defensemen too. I don't think it's the best decor, but if you decide you're keeping Dobson and your only big moves are going to come on the wing, I think they can get a lot of that done because it's not going to cost you as much as a center or a top defenseman or any other type of player you need down the road.
I'm kind of surprised because I think out of us three, actually all of us, I think I was actually the most happy with the trade deadline, but I'm going to give it the lowest grade. I think it's a C plus, and that can move all the
Oh,
way to an
just
F.
wait.
That can move all the way to an F in the off season. The reason why I was a little bit annoyed is because there's no reason that we have all of these defensemen on this team. One of those guys needed to be sold, and Chalowski's not cutting it. Great job with Nelson, but you failed at trading one of the defensemen. It's a major issue. There's no difference between Pollock and Mayfield on this team right now. And honestly, I'm sick of watching it. I don't want to watch these players anymore. I want to watch Scott Perunovich, man. Like, it's just not doing it for me. So yeah, I give it a C. And with Palmieri again, like I really love the way he handled that because it's like, all right, you're either going to give me a first or I'm going to keep him. And it's like these GMs are like, yeah, we won't take the first. Like, okay, you're an idiot then. Because I feel like this guy being such a good player is just like a well-kept secret at this point. Like he's pretty good. He could kill penalties. He'll put up 20 goals. He's a great teammate. So yeah, we'll take him. Thanks.
So I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, I'm shocked, Jack, that you feel this way. But I love that you actually do. So I'm giving it a C. I was extremely disappointed, not with Not with the on the Nelson trade. That was fantastic. I'm disappointed by the missed opportunity that was there. The first thing I'll say, I think this signals the end of Pageau in the offseason and them getting a center. I think that's going to be priority one to try and move JGP. And I think that he'll be valuable in the offseason when he only has 1 year left. But that's a later discussion. What made me so upset, and I saw so many people that in the space, people were saying this, on Twitter, people were saying this, that I didn't want to get rid of Palmieri and only get a second round pick or only get a a middling prospect because I don't want to turn into like the 2009 Islanders. I don't want to be unwatchable. I don't want to become the Sabres. I don't want to
They're
punt.
unwatchable right now.
They are exactly. Well, that's part of the point. I don't want to turn into like a whole rebuild, and so it's worth keeping a good player than getting a mediocre future. And what my problem with that is, for a team that's so bad at drafting and hasn't had a lot of draft picks, having more draft picks or more young prospects are more arrows to throw at the dartboard or more swing stick, whatever analogy you want. And I don't think it could hurt. And I know Ethan mentioned, just ripping the Band-Aid off. That's what I thought was going to happen when I saw the Nelson trade. And for them to be in the driver's seat and have all of these desirable players that six or seven teams were interested in, and to not even engage beyond, the highest of high return, I think it was just a mistake. And they're not going to have this opportunity again because there are going to be other rentals available. You never know when you're going to be in this situation where everyone wants your players. Everyone's going after your guys. This was such an opportunity for them to restock so that next year and the year after that, they can actually compete. They don't have to punt next year as well. They don't have to punt the following year. Who cares about what these last 20 games are? Like you said, Ethan, they're already unwatchable. They were unwatchable when they had Brock Nelson. So, like, I don't really understand the difference. And I guess the final thing is all the people that were complaining about, oh, well, I wouldn't have wanted to get rid of Palmieri just for a second round pick. Like, what are you hoping to gain from the rest of this season? They're 4 points out of a playoff spot. Does anyone think they're actually going to make the playoffs? Is anyone expecting that? Like, I don't think a reasonable person would be. So just rip it off and get the assets, and then you can go make big moves in the offseason. I think it was a missed opportunity. And, we're going to get into what Lou said. I don't necessarily know if I believe it because actions speak louder than words, and he didn't take action. So that's kind of my rant.
You know what my last thing is on the final 20 games as we finish up this subject? I'd like to just see one or two young guys get a shot. That would be nice, right? If we see an Alex, a Jeffries get a shot. I know he hasn't had the best numbers, but a guy like Maggio get a shot. Just one of these young guys that can maybe even be a bottom sixer for this team, whether they are or aren't going to be down the road, at least let's see what they got. There's nothing to lose. I know management, especially Lou, are probably still holding out hope. Oh, we're only 4 points out, this and that. But if they really fall a couple points further back, I really hope they just give a couple of these kids a shot. It doesn't have to be three, four, five, just one or two. Give us some new blood to see. And I think that would at least be somewhat exciting and a reason to turn on the game.
Absolutely. And last thing before we move on, I think what Jack said is also very important. Like, they have way too many defensemen. And like that's just not good
That
roster
was a good
management.
call, Jack. Yeah.
It was a very good call.
That's why he got a C, because he aced Brock, but he actually completely failed that. He
Yeah.
failed.
And that would have been like literally just what I was saying. Like, you could have gotten rid of Tony D'Angelo or one of these extras for a third or fourth round pick. And people are going to be like, well, who cares? It's only a third or fourth round
Another
pick.
dart.
That's another dart they can have that they can try and find someone.
I completely agree. Because
Like,
you're, what are
it's
you dressing? What do they have? Eight, nine guys practicing on D now? It's ridiculous.
exactly. So Scott Perunovich is not going to play, 15 of the last 20 games, or we're literally sitting Scott Mayfield out as a
He's an
healthy scratch.
RFA. We need to see what we have. It's ridiculous,
And not
man.
to mention, you probably have one of your guys that are going to be in the lineup next year in the AHL currently. That's being
Yeah.
blocked by all these guys in Isaiah George. So it just makes very little sense, but
It was
good
just
point by Jack there.
Yeah, very good point. It was just a missed opportunity. But anyway, we move on to an interesting nugget that was in Staples' article. And actually, before I get to the article, when I was at the game last week, I was speaking to my rep who was there, and we were walking around the suite level, and he mentioned to me that Scott Malkin has been here, and Scott Malkin is here at least twice a month at UBS, which took me by surprise because we always just assumed that he lives in London. He's never here. And then when the Staple article came out today, there was another tidbit that Scott Malkin actually flew to San Jose to be with the team. I don't believe that's been reported before. Maybe he's done it, maybe he hasn't, but it was a shock that an owner that we all thought was detached actually traveled with the team at this point in the season. So I'm not sure if there's anything to that. Ethan Rocco, if you have heard anything, I don't really know, but I just thought that was interesting that Staple would include that in his article.
I found it very interesting, and I'll just read a little tidbit from the article because I think when it was widely reported that Scott Malkin was out west in San Jose, immediately my gut just goes, ah, he's probably building a mall. But here's from Staples' piece today. Malkin's presence is meaningful in another way. A league source indicated that Malkin may be more hands-on than he's been in recent seasons, both with hockey operations and the team's business operations. Attendance hasn't been good this season in sheer average numbers and percentage of capacity. The Islanders rank in the bottom third of the NHL, and the prevailing sentiment of many diehards is that the team isn't doing enough to stave off irrelevance. So, let me throw that in there for this little bit here, because sometimes you go out looking for some information, and sometimes some information just comes to you at the perfect time. And some information just happened to come to me about 10 minutes ago. I'm asking Greeny to tee me up here in the Zoom channel. So, we spoke about Malkin a couple episodes ago about his lack of involvement and how it, I don't want to say infuriating, but at least annoying it was. Combine that with Ledecky sort of taking a step back as the quote unquote face of the franchise ownership and going to games and giving the goofy smile with the thumbs up and all that. But I was just told that today, both Lou Lamoriello and Scott Malkin had basically what I would call in corporate jargon a Zoom call state of the union with all employees.
State of the Lunion.
State of the Lunion. That's going to be the episode name. I love it, Greeny. Shout out to Newhouse. State of the Lunion.
That's good
And
stuff.
it's really good stuff. Almost better than the scoop, but not quite. So they had a State of the Lunion, both Lamoriello and Malkin on the call with all Islanders employees. And Lou reiterated to these employees what he said publicly, that there were going to be changes coming this summer and big ones. I was also told that a lot of the questions were coming from sales reps and season ticket folks because, like we've spoken about ad nauseum, renewals are down year over year. They're going to be down again this year. I've been speaking with my rep a little bit, not too much. I don't think he knows what I plan to do, but I know plenty of folks that are opting out for this season. Season ticket reps on the call asking Malkin and Lou what they should be telling season ticket holders who may not want to renew. And I would say that specifically on the call, some players on the back end were mentioned as long-time faces that could get moved this summer. N to no one's surprise, Pulock, Pelech, and Mayfield. So, some news for you there. Some specific players mentioned as potentially out this summer from Lou and Malkin themselves to Islanders employees. So, I found that very interesting, very refreshing, and on we go.
And just to add real quick, the other thing that my rep told me about Ledecky kind of like disappearing it's completely intentional. He was tired. This is Ledecky, was tired of going out there and having to put on this fake smile and this everything is great. He was getting a lot more
In lieu, we trust,
negative,
folks.
yeah, all that stuff. He was getting a lot more negative feedback. He didn't want to do that walk from the Elmont train station all the way to the arena with the fans this year.
Yep.
So the timing of all of this is just really interesting, but that's good stuff.
He had
Yeah,
no
that's
problem making sure they check your train tickets, though.
exactly.
Kind of a dick move.
But just so that I find that very interesting that they had that with all Islanders employees today. And for those who are season ticket holders, if you do wind up speaking to your reps, let us know. I'm curious what they say to you if they mention players specifically by name, like were mentioned on the call, or what the deal is. So keep us in the know, and I'll report back next week after I speak with my rep and let him know my decision. So you
Should we
never know what you're going to get on
transition?
the Isles
Should
House.
we go into the article, or Rocco, do you want to jump in?
Unrelated, but I think I would pay to watch like Ethan's season ticket rep like try to convince him that next year is the year to keep him and
We
just
might need
look
a
at Ethan's
recording of it.
face.
You, I
Just look
mean,
at
you
Ethan's
guys know
face the whole time.
I laid the Jewish guilt on him a couple weeks ago. I won't get into how or why, but I did. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Anyway, I was going to say that's a real good scoop from Ethan, and I find it really
Thank you.
interesting because when you think I think we're going to get into the decor a little bit later on, but yeah, like wouldn't it be so nice to just pluck one of those pieces out, trade a Pageau, and then suddenly you have all this wiggle room to make a move? And to me, from what Ethan just got, sounds like a management group that wants to make a splash. Whether they're able to do it or not, we'll see. But certainly feels like it. The All-Star
I do
game's coming.
appreciate
They
the
need to sell
involvement.
tickets.
That's what we've been looking for. We
Yes,
just
ownership that
want him to
cares.
be involved.
And we've said it on this podcast. And again, we're a big podcast on giving credit where it's due. And we can, for the past, it's not going to change. But for right now, you got to give Malkin some credit. He went to San Jose. He probably spoke with Lou, said, listen, you got to speak. You got to have a conversation about XYZ. And then clearly, after that conversation, went and spoke to everyone or whomever was in that meeting that works for the organization and mapped out a plan. So directly after, people like me, Ethan, and Greeny, and Jack to a lesser extent, he was a little happier with the deadline, but we were looking for what we were asking as the vision. I think I used that a couple times. What's the
Yep.
vision? What's the vision? It now sounds like Malkin is trying to sell a vision, which I can appreciate. The next step is the execution, which is much harder.
Yeah, of
So
course.
go.
And real quick, the tidbit that really catches the eye from Staples' article is about attendance. And not to give a billionaire credit, however, he's involved. The reasons, probably not because a bunch of dudes on a Zoom call are pissed and are frustrated, but probably related more so to attendance.
And
And
money, money.
of course,
Yeah.
and I think I was pessimistic about whether or not the attendance would actually bother Malkin. He got his arena, they got concerts there, they got shows, he's getting his mall. He's getting what he wanted out of his purchase of the Islanders. So whether it's ego or he's feeling it financially and wants the building filled, regardless, the outcome is what we wanted.
But the,
So,
this
don't you
is
think?
how,
Go
no,
ahead,
go ahead.
Greeny.
I was just going to say, this is how fans can show their frustration.
Yeah.
And for hockey, which out of all the major sports, the majority of the revenue that these teams make comes from attendance. So if you, as a fan, don't think that you have much of a say, if you stop going to games, eventually an owner's going to feel it. And it's just a matter of, are they going to take action? Do they care enough to do something about it? So this could
And
be a good first step.
yeah, and also when you own a sports franchise, I know actually, I believe I heard Cuban a couple months ago on the Roommates podcast with Brunson and Hart talking about how every time a new guy comes in and buys a team, it's all about real estate. You want to buy up everything around it and create this sort of community feel, family vibe. And obviously, it's usually in an area where you want real estate when it's right next to a stadium or whatever else. And it's a big part of it, right? But in doing so, the fans will let you know when it's not going well. the fans will be your biggest headache. He's not going to get a headache from the retail village or whatever else he's doing around it. That's just, you know, money in the bank, and he's not going to hear too much about it from his critics. The sports team side, you will hear it, especially in New York, especially with the type of fan, not the type of fans we have, just the type of fans that are in New York in general. We're passionate about our teams. There's nothing wrong with that, but you better do right by us or we're not going to want you here very long.
100%. Jack.
I got nothing on this. I think we should switch gears.
Well, I was going to go into the vision because
let's get into the vision a little after, only because I feel like with the deadline and with this article, I feel like we haven't talked about what we're seeing on the ice in like 3 weeks. I think we need to do that a little bit.
Well, Jack, with all due respect, it's kind of irrelevant at this point.
Not totally, not entirely. It's not. And you all know that.
Well, like, I'm starting to see when I'm looking at the ice, when I'm watching Islander games, I'm starting to see like Misa, Schaefer, Hagen. That's what's starting to fly through my head.
Well, there's actually relevancy to the current team. And the reason being, because how we think the roster is going to be constructed. So there's certain buys that we'll have to make this offseason potentially. And that's kind of what we're figuring out right now. Like, can Simon Holmstrom play a top six role? Can Siplikov play a top six role? I mean, we're not going to find that out if he doesn't get off of Cizikas's wing, though. We need to see how Lee finishes out the year. Maybe the first 4 months were a little bit of a fluke and the resurgence or the Lee-surgence might not really be true. Like, we need to talk about these things. I think it's important.
Well, Jack, why don't you go first? Of the last couple of games post-deadline, what have you liked? What have you not liked?
I mean, what I didn't like was just the first period in San Jose.
They
were up 2-0, but my goodness, they played poorly in that period. And it's like, since Brock's been traded, you know how like, okay, like we can give them a little bit of like this mental excuse right now, but my God, they are taking advantage of this excuse. They're just not, they just don't look as sharp. They don't look so focused. You know, the PK last night looked atrocious, but really what I want to see, I need to see if Simon Holmstrom can be a top six winger right now. That's really what I'm looking for. I want to see something from Duclair. I mean, this season he was supposed to play with Barzal. I think what they maybe played like 6 or 7 games together at this point. So those are things that I'm looking at, and I don't know. Like, don't
Jack,
you guys?
Quick question on Duclair. Because I kind of feel this way. Do you give him sort of a pass because of the injury? Because, I mean, his whole game is speed, and he had that groin injury early on, and that's something that lingers. So how do you feel on Duclair? Because I've kind of been giving him a pass, but at what point is it too much of a pass? Like, at what point does he need to start playing again?
I mean,
we just paid this guy.
He's getting power play minutes. He scored a power play goal, so he's off to a good start in this post-deadline. It honestly feels like we're on the third half of the season here. Like, it's just another reset. So since this one, I mean, I guess it was an encouraging start. I want to give him a pass, but, like, I also have to be in the moment at the same time. I just want to see something from him. I just feel like I haven't seen enough. And it also feels like we have two. Another reason why we feel unwatchable right now is I think we literally have like 4 of the same guys. Like, can someone here tell me the difference between Hudson Fashing, Kyle MacLean, and Casey Cizikas, and even Gatcombe? Are those 4 guys not the same exact player?
Well, one's dad works for the team, but besides that.
Hopefully not for much longer.
You never know. Was he on the Zoom call?
I don't know.
Like, my God, it's like watching 4 of the same player. And
wait,
personally,
but Jack, I'm sorry, go.
No, I get it. Patrick Waugh, I get it, man. I've hated people in my life too. But you gotta give Engvall a chance, dude. I mean, this guy cannot be playing. It's not fair to evaluate him in the circumstances in which you're playing him in.
This is
evaluated.
Yeah, this is the dumbest point that you've made this entire time. Two coaches have watched Pierre Engvall play for 5 minutes and say, yeah, this guy is not playing.
And not to mention the Leafs coaches beforehand basically said the same thing.
It's just, does he really need to play with MacLean and Fashing?
He doesn't need to play.
He does now.
He has the look of a top NHL talent without the talent, I feel. Without the IQ, mostly. He has the speed, the athleticism, a lot of things you like. And then, like, between the years, I just feel like there's nothing. Like, even I watch him play sometimes, it's like, where are you? Where was that pass? What are you thinking in the defensive zone? Like, he just looks lost. And when you're in the stands and you could tell a player's lost, he's beyond lost.
You know what? Fine. Then wave the guy and bring up Jeffries.
They have waved him 100 times. Him. Yeah.
Do it again. Do it again. It's better than watching him play with McLean and Fashing. It's brutal to watch.
That's the best point you've made. Then get rid of him and get someone else up here so we can try someone else.
There is no one.
I literally, like, why can't we take anyone that's on the worst AHL team in the history of sports and put them on the Islanders for a week? What is the harm in doing that?
Nothing to me at this point now.
Like, that's, we got to have Adam Boqvist play center. Like, let's bring someone up here.
I think the Boqvist thing might have just been, like, if that was a home game, it probably would have been an emergency call up, right? But because they were out in, where were they, Anaheim last night? You can't get someone out there quick enough. That's what I think that was, at least.
You know what? Put Matt Martin back in the lineup then. He's there. Sometimes I forget that Matt Martin is there. He was activated off injured reserve. Get Matty back in there. It'll help us in the Marner.
I'm surprised they're not playing him to get him to 1,000.
It's
going to
be his most important job of his Islanders tenure.
Well, you know who has been great? Since we've been very negative, you know who's been terrific? Ilya Sorokin.
No, he has been.
He has been unbelievable, and he plays every single night except for the other night. He's been fantastic. Jack, you've done a 180 on him recently.
No, you know what? I actually respect the hell out of him because in this modern day NHL, no goalie plays the amount he's played this season. And you know what? I don't even care anymore if he plays like shit. It is honestly admirable that he's gone out there and just – he's been a dog this year, man. He came in with back surgery, and he's just grinding through it. I have a lot of respect for that. So
but aren't you now more comfortable or confident with him going forward?
Yes, but my next statement is going to be very surprising. Yes, he put together a nice stretch of games, but I'm sorry. I need more security than Hogberg. And I know that's going to be very unpopular because we have him on a great contract and he's shown that he could be really good, but I've seen his numbers in prior years. Like, the thought of him being like, yeah, this is our backup, that scares the hell out of me. So this is another thing to watch out for. They need to give him a good amount of starts, and I need to see something because Elliot Friedman reported what Ethan's been telling us for 4 months. Varlamov is done. Like, I don't think we're ever seeing him play again.
Yeah, Jack, you want to get into exactly what Friedman said, though?
Yeah.
Do we have the line or no?
I think I actually remember it. I think he said there are rumors about this injury being really bad. And like he said the same thing. He said the same line pretty much again to just emphasize like how bad it is.
I mean, I think once he was skating on his own and then they shut him down again, no one should have doubted what Ethan has been saying on this podcast for a while. I mean, it's not going to say exactly what it is, but it's pretty obvious. It's a lingering thing that's been going on and will likely continue to go on.
Right. The last line in the Staple article was about Varlamov, and he said that he just recently had to reset his rehab clock. He's still trying to get back for next year, but that's just not a good sign.
So that basically means
he's
getting to a point in his rehab, and he's just like plateauing where he can't get over the hump.
Beyond
a certain, whether it's workload or whether it's the part of his body that's aching him, he just can't get beyond a certain threshold. And it's
the exact quote, there's been some rumors about this Varlamov injury, that it is like a really serious injury. There have been some rumors concerning about how significant that injury is that he suffered. So NHL Insider is doing what they best, saying the same thing twice just because they need filler. But yeah, not looking bright.
And if it is the end for Varley, thank you. He was great.
He was
one of the best Islander goaltenders in their history, honestly, by at this point.
Yeah. The only Islander goaltender outside of Billy Smith to win more than two playoff rounds.
There we go.
And how many? And he won a lot. He was both of those Eastern Conference Finals runs, right?
Sorokin won one of the series that the game against the series against Pittsburgh. He
But they
won.
kind of went back and forth, didn't they? Didn't they? Weren't they both in that series? Sorokin
So,
had that crazy game, and then
yep.
Varley was kind of a mix.
I think Varley started, and then they moved to Sorokin, and he did it the rest of the way. And then
Right.
he lost game one in Boston. They went to Varley, and then they never looked back. So he
Right.
won the, I don't know how
It
many
was a
series it
mix.
is,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
he was good.
You could argue four series, I would say.
Yeah. Well, do we want to go into the Lamoriello presser, some of the quotes? What are we thinking?
One more note on the current team, not to do
Okay.
with the players. Since Patrick Waugh has took over, I'm going to give a shout out and credit here to Palfy, PalfyNYI16 on Twitter.
Your
Great
boy.
guy, season ticket holder, and first ever follower of my
Bally
Twitter
hater,
account.
Bally hater.
Bally hater, but first ever follower. Respect him for always hearing me out. But he had an interesting tweet the other day. Waugh's quote unquote special teams update. So these are cumulative numbers. Since he's taken over, he has the 11th worst ranked PK in NHL history and the 13th worst power play in NHL history. Last night, he benched Kyle Palmieri. He started Adam Boqvist as his fourth line center. And the team has looked completely disinterested the last 48 hours. Now, yeah, there's a lot going on with this team. It's not the most talented group, but those special teams numbers are unacceptable. Yes, the coaching staff, I don't know if he put it together, but at some point, man,
He
you're the
didn't.
guy. You got to take over. You got to take some control here. Is this our coach of the future? Like, do we really feel safe saying that? Because
Next year, yeah. I
I
think they're a
just.
package deal next year at this point.
That's actually what I was going to ask you guys. We were going to talk about this later. Do we think he's coaching for his job the rest of this season?
I'm gonna
Hell no.
say the only
Next year, I
reason,
think he will be.
the only reason he's going to stick around is because Lamoriello is not going to be allowed to hire another coach without some level of success again. So I think he stays literally for that one reason. But I don't know. I don't know if this
Also
was the right.
contract. It's also contract. Like, I think we're, Ethan, correct me if I'm wrong. We're fairly certain next year is the last year of Lou's deal. And then I think Wah
Yeah.
has one more beyond it. I think contractually. I believe that's what it is.
What
Pretty
I
sure.
want to see. A 3-year contract for Wah. So I don't know. Do they count? I guess they count the second
So
half of
next year
last
would be
year.
year two of three.
Well,
What I
so
want to see, though.
that's my question. Does this count as the second year?
No, this, I think I'm not 100% certain, but I heard from someone I trust that last year was kind of like the interim sort of tag, whatever, and then he got a 3-year deal.
Oh, actually, well, this report that I just read, which came out last year, said 3 years, the end of this current season plus the next two. So that would mean that next year is the last year of his deal.
No, the following, no.
No, because there this article that I just pulled up came out last year when he got hired, and it said,
Including that year?
including that year, it says, and by 3 years, we mean the end of this current season plus the next two.
Plus the
So
next. So then
in
they'll
concrete
run
terms, he's under
together.
contract through 25, 26. Yeah.
And
For
I think
me,
we, I think, sorry, Jack, but I think we said in the last one, like, the only way, like, if Lou's here, we all, I think, agreed that Wah has to be here. Like, he's not going to get to hire another coach. So we all think Lou's going to be here. So I would be shocked if it's not Wah next year. And we all think Lou's staying, correct?
yeah.
Yeah.
So
Well,
I would personally be shocked. Would you guys?
it
If Wah's not
depends.
here?
It just depends because, like, I think the way Lou set up this deadline, like the exit part of this deadline for from now until the rest of the season, I don't know if he expects to be in the playoffs, but like we expect a fight. Like we expect them to be at least in the race going down the stretch here a little bit.
I
I
mean,
mean,
you
before.
do.
Yeah.
But don't you think, Jack, don't you think that some of Lou's words were intertwined with Waz's views in that, like, we need to get younger, we need to get faster? You don't think Waz in his ear saying that? Like, these guys are not for me. Like, we saw it the second D'Angelo and these puck moving defensemen came, Waz's system started to look a little better when he
It
had some
did.
D-men that could move, and we had some youth, and we had some speed. So I'm not trying to give Waz a complete pass, but until he really gets some more of his guys in house, I don't think you could get that upset at him because, like, we're saying, oh, you got to get more out of these guys, this and that, yada, yada. But it's the same group of guys that have been here for how long? I went through the other day in the Eastern Conference Finals runs when they played Tampa Bay. The Islanders have more remaining players from those rosters than Tampa Bay does. That's a lot of
It's
players.
insane.
It is. I just want to see them be competitive. I think they have the roster to be competitive in games. They don't need to win them. But, dude, last night I can't watch that.
Yeah, but don't you think, Jack, that a lot of guys are playing above their head? Like Pageau, 2C into he's a shutdown 3C forced to play 2C. Like, we got to temper expectations a little bit down the stretch, I think.
Yeah, but I'm not going to give you a pass when you have Siplikov playing with Cizikas and Fashing. It's just unacceptable.
But
There's
what would
no
you?
reason to bench Kyle Palmieri for the rest of the second period. You just can't do that when you have this roster, dude. Like, that's not what we don't like with Malkin. Like, dude, we're not paying for tickets to watch Fashing on a 6-on-5. Stop pulling the goalie with 11 minutes left. It's fucking embarrassing,
That's
dude.
his thing, though.
All right,
That's always
it's
been his
his
thing.
thing. Do you actually have a problem with that? And we'll move on. But like, of all things, really, him pulling the goalie with 11 minutes left—they're not going to score, Jack. What does it matter?
It gives me a nice laugh, but if you're gonna fucking do it, can you not put Fashing on the ice? Wah, come on, then.
All
But
right,
it's
fair.
like, who do you like?
Okay, whatever.
Anyway.
Anyway.
It's analytically sound. Pulling the goalie super early is going to be the new
Go
go
for it
for
on
it, go
fourth
for.
down.
Yeah, go
Yeah.
for two of the
I'll
NHL
go for
once we get some of these
two.
like old schmucks out of
One
here.
time, Jack, it's going to work, and we're going to bring up this exact conversation with you when
You
it
know that
does.
I actually Googled it because like there's a method to the madness, and actually the numbers behind it are crazy, and don't quote me on this. And if anyone's actually curious, I could send you the numbers that I researched. But apparently the optimal time to pull the goalie down one, either in the offensive zone or the neutral zone, is between 330 seconds and 550 seconds remaining in the game.
Interesting.
Which is like
Very.
a crazy range,
There's nothing
but
to lose.
right.
There's just nothing to
And Patrick
lose.
Waugh is actually one of the innovators. Like he was doing this when he was coaching Colorado. Like he was pulling the goalie
I think
super
it
early.
worked like once in a major way when he was in Colorado. Like they were down a couple goals and I like at the early part of his tenure, I think it worked.
No, it like literally like the first week of his tenure, I remember that
Yeah.
when he was
I
fighting
remember.
Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah, I remember like watching the highlights of it. Like he pulled his goalie at X amount and they put one in and then he reset and then they just ended up coming back. But
It's the go for two of the NHL.
and he used to pull the goalie when they were down one, he'd pull the goalie with 2 minutes left and people would be like, that's crazy. And now everybody does that when there's 2 minutes left.
Nah,
What's
you know what was
funny too is he
crazy?
was a
When he
goalie
pulled
himself.
the goalie when we had a defensive zone face-off, that was crazy. That
There
was a
was like
while ago.
that was in
14 seconds
Toronto.
left.
Yeah, like
There was
what?
like no time left,
And
yeah.
then they lost the face-off anyway, so it wouldn't
Right.
have
But
mattered.
I could just as explanation being like I was a goalie myself, and when it was like 4 or 5 minutes left, I didn't know what the fuck I was still doing in the crease, and that's why I do it now. I could so picture him saying
You
something.
know what, man? You guys are mostly negative about this current team, but not about Patrick Waugh. So I will take your positivity and run with it. So whatever. You
Well, we
guys all
respect the
love.
Hall of Famer, the same thing you tell us to do.
Yeah. All
Yeah,
right. Sure.
exactly.
Patrick Waugh. Yeah, he's great. He's great. Great. This is awesome. We can move on.
Anyway, well, before we get into questions, I think we should discuss the article itself and all of the quotes. Lou spoke for like, what, it was like 10, 15 minutes in San Jose. And Arthur Staple, back from the shadows, has come out with an article with actual insight and put some quotes here. So I'll kind of go through them. We touched on a little bit before. I guess I'll read them. If there's something interesting, guys, just chime in. But the first one is Lamoriello's remarks right after the deadline passed and what's to come. He goes, quote, "We need to get younger. We understand that. Whether the Islanders had a chance to do that is probably unknown," but he admits that they do need to get younger. But then Art brought up the Brock Nelson situation and he goes, quote, "We would have liked to have kept Brock. I won't apologize for that. You have a center like that and you just can't lose a player like that. It's hard to replace. We made an offer we felt was fair for the length of the terms that we felt was good for him and what he can bring to the team, and it wasn't enough." And then as far as the actual trade goes, and this is a credit to Lou, Every team that he called, he said that we had to get back a top prospect. Any of the teams that we talked to, it had to be their top prospect. I feel very fortunate for the organization. We were able to get a quality player who plays that position, which I thought was an interesting part, and is able to basically come into the lineup right away. JGP, I think his days are numbered based off of that quote. But the last thing that Arthur Staple actually added to this was, had that trade not materialized, Nelson would still be an Islander and he could possibly have walked out the door for nothing, which is terrifying. And I think that's why you guys mentioned before, we have to give Brock his flowers for actually forcing Lou to do the right thing. So shout out to Brock.
Thank you,
Literally
Brock. Thank you,
retire
Brock.
retire his number just for that. That was
Thank you, Brock. And
rooting for the
also,
Avs because of Brock. Yeah.
thank you to Brock for the game before he got traded. Not only did he score, but at the end of the game, he's out there blocking shots, diving to get the puck out of the zone, all for no reason. So much respect for Brock there, just playing the right way.
Absolutely. And then I guess moving on to Palmieri, like Ethan said before, they actually did put him out there. They asked for a high price. The talks out there were a second round pick and a low level prospect. They obviously did not get that price met, so they hung on to him. I think the price actually might have changed late in the afternoon because I'm shocked. I don't know how you guys feel. Ricard Raquel was a hot name, and Pittsburgh hung on to him as well. But
Stupid.
when we saw old friend Anthony Beauvillier get a second round pick earlier in the day,
Yeah, that was sort of the optimism from me.
yeah, I thought we were all like, all right, this is going to be crazy. And then it
I
just
was
kind of
starting to get
stopped.
tagged in Price of the Palms memes after that.
Absolutely. And then Lou, or it was mentioned that the Jets were heavily interested in Brock Nelson. Their package was probably, and this is not confirmed, but the consensus was that it was a first round pick and Brad Lambert.
No thanks.
And yeah, I think we can all agree. Probably a better deal. Cal Ritchie's a better prospect than Lambert.
We don't need another Lambert around here either.
And it just goes to show you, it just goes to show you how much the market inflated like a couple of days before the deadline. Because I remember maybe even our last episode, honestly, talking about Brock's value and mentioning that exact return a couple of times, the first and the Lambert. And I'm pretty sure I mentioned that return a couple times on Twitter because we knew the Jets were linked. We knew that pretty early on here. And we knew that, again, things change over time, but we knew that the Islanders liked Lambert a lot his draft year. And it's the same group in the Isles front office. So the link made a lot of sense. And at the time, I remember us all also discussing that not a terrible return for a rental. So what we ended up getting was great. It was just that the lack of moves after, especially when we know that there was calls on a few other players that Lou just decided to do, not decided to, but ended up doing nothing, was a little disappointing, I would say.
And so, you mentioned the other players. So Palmieri's name was definitely out there. We didn't know if they were going to float Anders Lee's name, Mayfield, or Pageau. According to the other general manager's agents that Arthur Staples spoke to, he said that Pageau's name was not even mentioned as a possibility, which I thought was interesting.
So the one thing people have to understand too, it wasn't mentioned as a possibility. Why? Because Lou didn't want to really move him. And Lou didn't want to move him under the terms maybe other teams were asking. Because Ethan and I both know that it goes beyond Pageau in regards to teams, who teams were calling about. I think teams were calling on Lee. I know teams were calling on Pageau. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a couple got calls on a guy like Mayfield who would not waive. So there's a number of things. And I think if Lou wanted to move Pageau, he easily could have. It's just that the teams currently in the hunt were requesting that Lou eat some of that money, which is not a Lou move, especially when there's term left on that deal. I think Lou wants as much flexibility as he can come this summer. So if he does move Pageau, I'm assuming off his actions at the deadline, he's going to want to move the full 5 million. Not him at 2.5, not him at 3.5. He wants to get all five off the books, and that may lessen the return. But come the summer, the added cap may be worth more to Lou. And if he pulls that off, kudos to him.
And that's actually a brilliant transition, Rocco, because
Into me saving the team.
into you saving the team, we're going to get to you in 2 minutes. the last part of Lou's availability, he was talking about the end of this year, what he's looking for, and then what he's going to be looking for in the offseason. So about the last 20 games, he said, quote, "We also try to look at this season not to give up in any way whatsoever on the guys in that room without hurting the mission to go into the trade deadline." So then Arthur asked him about a rebuild. And Lou talked about the dreaded R word. He goes, "First of all, the word rebuild, that's something that's brand new over the last several years. And it's and if the definition of a rebuild is completely breaking something down and going forward, that's going to be a good 10 years. So what you try to do, and I use a different word, is maybe retool. Not that that's a good word, but we try to go in such a way that you don't lose the competitiveness and the opportunity to win today, but get it toward the best possible way you can. But as far as depleting something, that's not something that works." And then the last bit, as far as the offseason goes, he goes this, which I thought was the most interesting. Quote, "If we could have gotten younger and better other than draft picks, we would have done it without question. But we felt that where a few of our players are, and when I say few, I mean several, that we could have made moves with, they would be better to be done at a different time. Where what we need to sort of infuse in the lineup, those players would be made available. So that's a decision that we made. And along the way, we also tried to look at this season with only being 4 points out and not give up on anyone in the room. But I can assure you that if there were other players and not of the caliber that we got, but close to it, there would have been a lot more moves. There will be change this summer. Until there's change, you can't say how much, but I assure you that there will be change."
And I hope that change line now overtakes, "If you have time, use it," because I'm so fucking sick of that line.
That so line has gotten now, overused
no
way
one,
too much.
I think we have to retire it. "You have time, use it." And now it's got to be "change will come." That's the only line we should hold on to. "Change will come."
And then before we go to Ethan, sorry, Jack, there anything else?
No, just please retire the saying. I'm actually sick of it too.
No, I'm for that. But before we go to Ethan's plan to save the Islanders, the last thing that Arthur Staple noted was bring up a couple of players that could possibly either be traded or be bought out. And two of the big buyout candidates are Pierre Engvall and Scott Mayfield. And so just to kind of share with everybody how that math would break down. So if they decided to buy out Mayfield and Engvall, they have spots for both of them, buyout spots. Engvall, it would cost them $1 million a year for the next 10 years. Mayfield, it would cost them $1.167 million per year for the next 10 years. As far as cap savings go, that's a cumulative cap savings of about $4.33 million each year. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely crazy that we're talking about Mayfield and Engvall being the Islanders' version of Bobby Bonilla.
Basically.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I think you could get someone to take Mayfield. 100%. I think Engvall you'd have to buy out, but I think, I mean, people were calling on Mayfield. Like, there were reports of Toronto contacting them on Mayfield. Like, I'm not saying you're going to get anything nice, but I don't think you're going to have to. I think you could get away with not buying him out. I think
Mayfield, you can go the Drury Truba route. Same thing with Pulock. Like, you can just bully these guys into waiving their no trades. You can refuse to play them. Engvall, brother, waive or you're spending the next 5 years in Bridgeport. Like, that's enough to get me to waive.
Right. And it's one of those things, like, I often use this comparison, but like, think of your own job. Like, once you're not wanted, it's hard. Like, every day to go into work sucks. You could say what you know, it's a big move, this and that. But once you're literally told to your face you're not wanted, that's the beginning of the end to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Pretty much.
Well, Ethan, how do we save the Islanders?
All right, fellas, walk with me here. So I'm going to go break down sort of the projected roster lineup that I think could be a realistic possibility with a few big swings, a few tweaks, a few moves. So I'm going to start all the way on the back end here with the goalies. So you have Ilya. I'm just going to go through first those who are already under contract that I'm keeping. So you have Ilya at 8.25. I think given the Varley injury news, he's destined for retirement or long-term injured reserve. I am not counting his cap hit against the Islanders next year. I do think that that is the world we're living in right now, where long-term injured reserve for the full season, or he just calls it a day. He's what, 36, 37, he's getting up there. He's got the injury issues. So between Ilya's 8.25 and Hogberg's 775,000, we're looking at 9.025. I'm just going to use decimals. So that's 9,025,000, 9,250,000, whatever it is. 9.025 for your goalies. Moving up. Under contract, Pelech, 5.75. He's got a modified no trade. You could move him. I opted to keep him. Boqvist, 800K. George, 750K. If you want, you can keep Perunovic as your 7th D, 1.25. Moving up to the forwards, as Jack's nodding in approval of the Scott Perunovic 7
Yes,
D.
sir.
Yes, sir. All right. A fourth line comprised of Gatcombe at 775,000, McLean, same, Cizikas, 2.5. Moving up to the third line, I'm penciling in Callum Ritchie, 3C at 950K. The other two wingers are not under contract, so we're moving up to line two, where we've got Horvat at 8.5. And then line one would be comprised of Andersley at 7, Barzal at 9.15, and Duclair at 3.5. But Ethan, you left out a few guys. All right, I'm going to save the best for last. Walk with me here. Romanov, I think you could probably get him at a 5 million cap hit. So we're going to put Romanov in there. Tony D, dance on him, Tony D.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to pencil him in for a Mike Riley-esque contract, 1.5. In this scenario, I also have the Islanders locking up Noah Dobson for big money long term. I have him penciled in for 9
Oh
a
boy.
year. It's a lot,
On the high
but
end.
it's on the high end. But again, walk with me. Now, moving back up. We got the fourth line, the third line, Kyle Palmieri. We know what he's looking for. Let's pencil him in for the 4.5 that he's probably looking for, term to be determined. So you've got Richie centering Palmieri, and maybe we can get Siplikov back here on a small cap hit. I put in 2.5, so 2.5 for Siplikov. You can go up a little bit if need be. There's a little wiggle room here in my scenario here. All right, moving up to the second line for the finale. Walk with me. Holmstrom, 5 mil a year. I think that's fair, and it'll bring him to free agency where he'll be in his quote unquote prime. But I've really come around on him. He's having a great year. He's improved year over year. He's young. You need those type of players. I have him penciled in for 5 here. And then your second line, right wing, on the other side of Bo Horvat. Magic, Mitch, Marner, 13.5 a year. So you're looking at Lee Barzal, Duclair, Holmstrom, Horvat, Marner, Tsiplikov, Richie, Palmieri, Gatcombe, McLean, Cizikas, Romanov, Tony, Pelech, Dobson, Boqvist, George, Perunovic. You're getting rid of Pajot. You're moving him over the summer to clear up that cap space. You're getting rid of Varlamov's. What is it? 2.75. You're getting rid of Pulak. You're going to bully him into waiving his no trade clause. Same thing with Mayfield in this scenario, although the total for my scenario adds up to 91.725, giving you enough room to keep Mayfield if you so choose. And I think that's it in terms of the moves. It's really Pajot, Mayfield, and Pulak out. Two names that were mentioned in this Malkin Lou Zoom call. And Pajot, and taking the big swing and giving Mitch Marner a mega deal to come and hang out with the Martins in the Hamptons during the summer.
Anders Lee, come get the Stanley Cup.
There we go, folks.
Yeah. It's
Listen,
very
now I know
rare, I
what
agree.
you've
But
all
man.
listened to that. Hold on. You've all listened to that. And I know you're going to be skeptical. I'm sure people are going to be all up my ass about some of the contract values or how unrealistic it is to land Mitch Marner or how unrealistic it is to ship out some of those contracts. But you know what? I just need you to believe. I need you to walk with me here. We're going to walk and talk. We're going to get to the summer and we're going to make the Islanders great again. Thank you, folks.
You know what I will say on Mitch? One thing, because every time one of us posts about him, you'll always have people from other fan base like, oh, no chance, he's never coming, this and that. I'm not saying he is coming, but if he does hit the market, we got to be attractive. I mean,
I'm
this is the
sorry.
one
Listen,
free agent where like you feel like some of the things can fall right. Like with Panarin, it was like, oh, his supermodel wife wants to be in the city. For
Right.
Johnny Gaudreau, it's like, oh, they wanted to be in Columbus. They're quieter people. For this one, it's like you could, again, it's dreaming, but if you start to hear like, oh, he's, mulling over his options and he hits the market in the summer, you got to think Matt Martin's making that call. And it's one thing to say guys are close. These two are super close. This is, Matt Martin is someone that had his back and defended him in Toronto. For those who don't know that are listening, look up the Toronto Matt Martin, Mitch Marner, Babcock situation, because Babcock put Marner in a shitty situation. Matt Martin protected him and they're boys. They're very close. I think Mitch visits him every now and then. And again,
I
not
believe Mitch
saying it's going to
Marner helps
happen,
out
but
at Matt Martin's camps.
he does.
Yeah, he's come out to the camps at the practice facility a couple times. Like they're close. Like it's not a, like I think people like to throw those things together, like, oh, so and so's close with this guy and that and yada yada. But there are links with Mitch. And
And I'll tell
you
you
can
what,
say,
I Rocco, let me I the delusion is so ingrained in me as an Islanders fan that Sarah and I went to go to my mother's house over the weekend, and half of the car ride was me asking her to break down the relationship between the Marners and the Martins because my wife is all about the Wags, and by all Instagram activity leads me to believe that the significant others are very close.
very close. And don't, there's a couple other tidbits that you got to remember here too. Lou Lamoriello is a connection. He
Yes.
was GM there for a bit for Mitch. And Barzal's a connection. I'm almost 100% certain they were on a World Junior team together and they're close. Not like Matt Martin, Marner close, but they're close as well. So there are some things that could be a draw. I'm not saying he's coming. I'm not saying it's a sure thing by any means. I gun to my head, I would probably still say staying in Toronto. Though that recent report that came out, essentially, it was confirmed. I was listening to it on 32 Thoughts today. The fact that they asked Mitch to waive
Yeah, that's
the
crazy.
Rantanen trade, I think is crazy. And
I think
Elliot
it's crazy
defended it.
too.
Elliot defended it and said, if you don't ask him, you're not doing your job. And to me, I tried to put myself in Mitch's shoes. If you're a pending UFA, and this other guy's a pending UFA, and you approach me and you say, would you waive for Carolina because we might trade for Rantanen? To me, you think Rantanen's better than me.
There's
So,
no other way to look at it.
and to me, because you think, if you think Rantanen's better than me, I'm not taking a penny less than him. If you got to give me 12.1 because you got to beat Rantanen's deal, you're doing it. You're not giving me a
Dude,
penny less because now I'm
those
in the
Canadian
driver's seat.
taxes are no joke.
They're
So
no joke. And now I'm going to leverage you because you were trying to leverage me. You were trying to, we weren't going to trade you, but if the
let's
situation
not
come up,
forget,
would you waive? Bullshit. I
and
hate
let's not
how.
forget the contract negotiations for his last deal with his father getting involved. It was anything but smooth.
And
And
can we bring up the media aspect? He has
exactly, I
been
was just.
under heat from the minute he was drafted, like third overall, whatever. I mean, everyone
Before the
knows.
year before Matthews, I
The
think
year
people
before
forget he was before
Matthews.
Matthews. So
And
he
when
was
you're.
like the first of this era.
Listen, if
When
it's
you're.
not Toronto, I am delusional enough to believe that Long Island is number two
But
on the list.
listen, if a guy, people forget, if a guy hits the open market, I know the cap's going up, but at the end of the day, there's only so many options. It's not going
Dude,
to be
and
worth
in my
10
scenario
teams
too,
can sign him.
give him fucking 14.
Give him what it takes.
Give him more than what's his face in Edmonton.
Draisaitl.
Yeah, give him the 14 and a half. I don't care. I don't
No, I don't
care.
either. I don't either.
This
I
is
mean,
the
I think.
opportunity to change the narrative around
Yeah,
the entire organization.
this is the swing. So I
And
just listen.
wouldn't it be nice too? Because it's like for a guy like Mitch, we know he's a Toronto boy, but as Greeny just said, he gets it from the media at every single angle. We constantly hear, oh, he sucks in the playoffs. He's like just below a point per game in the playoffs. And then they take these little tidbits and these little moments in these playoff games. Oh, Mitch is soft. Mitch is this. Mitch is that. I find myself to be one of his biggest defenders because I feel like people don't understand how good this player is because all they see is the tweets from Toronto about, oh, he's soft. Oh, he doesn't do this. Oh, he doesn't do that. Meanwhile, he's one of the best players in the league and he's a good two-way player. And he doesn't really have his weakness, you could say, is him being soft and him being smaller, sure. But it's 2025. You don't need to be huge in the NHL anymore. This guy is one of the best in the league. And I would pay, as Ethan said, pretty much anything, like up to Dreisaitl's deal.
And if you really think about it, of all the previous years, the only other year where there was that like big fish that I think they tried to get and didn't get was Panarin.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of the Lou Barry years. They didn't have a building. They were coming off an awful year. Like, they're a little bit more established now. Mm-hmm. This is the moment.
Well, Panarin was right after they got knocked out in the first round, right?
It was after that.
So it's one of those things you wonder if they were making those Eastern Conference Finals runs, would it have been different? Like, it's always the timing, right? And now it feels like we're on the downswing, but you could sell to a guy like Mitch coming to a market where it's a little quieter. Because if he leaves Toronto, to me, he's not going anywhere loud.
Something that's good for Marner, he's actually played against the Islanders in some great atmospheres. Like, going to an Islander game in the regular season, the Maple Leafs games are always some of the best ones.
Do you think fans throwing snakes help Marner want to come here?
Well, you know what?
Might have not been.
No, I'll tell you this. If there is such a thing in this world, if karma exists, then the Toronto Maple Leafs losing Mitch Marner
to
the
true.
Island.
And I'm sure they won't boo and they won't get upset,
an
right?
As
like they
it
said to
exists.
Us.
Boy, so. We are, and not we're owed one, we're owed 100, about 100 different things as fans of this team. But Jack, what you mentioned about the atmosphere, that's where Matt Martin's going to make his money, because all of the positives that come with being an Islander that you don't know unless you're here, he's going to know all that. He has been hearing all that already.
If Matt Martin convinces Mitch Marner to sign, I'm giving Matt Martin a $1 million 10-year contract as a reward.
If
he gets commission
Matt,
on the sale.
If
he
Matt,
gets commission.
If Matt Martin gets him to sign here, he's going in with Brock to the Ring of Honor or the Hall of Fame.
No.
We're calling it. Yeah.
17 to the rafters.
17
to the rafters.
Sorry, Sean Bates.
Yeah.
Wait, but also, this is why, going back, if I tie this all the way back to the trade deadline, this is why I wish that they sold more and they shaped themselves a little bit better going forward, because now you could have presented this to Mitch. Look at all of these assets that we have to load up the next couple of years. Look at the young players we've gotten. Look at how we're ready to build.
If they wind up, and it's within the realm of possibility, you guys tell me if I'm high here because of other things that have transpired in the standings. But, like, if they truly bottom out, like, if they keep playing like they've been playing with the schedule they have coming up, I don't think them picking 5th, 6th, 7th is, like, out of the realm of possibilities. You have that extra first from Colorado. Like, if you really want to land a Misa or a Hagans, if there is a team in the top 3 that isn't in love with this draft and just wants to trade back and recoup assets for 2026, which could be a better draft. Listen, I'm a huge Misa guy. I think, like, he's my top prospect in this draft. I love him. If I was picking number 1 overall, it would be him over Schaefer personally. You also have the Hagans Long Island storyline. Like, there's a lot, like Greeny said, there's a lot of ways to spin this here. You know, you have Richie, Iserman, and I think I told you this guys earlier, but Misa's going to BU next year. So we very well may be looking at a Bednarik.
I don't know if that's 100%, but rumored.
Someone DM me today.
Was it KB?
I
think it was KB, because I think
KB.
He said the same thing to me.
All right. Listen, I trust KB. He's
I trust KB too. I just don't know.
He's a sicko. No, Kenny's a sicko. So, like, listen, I'm just saying, you're going to have a BU line, Bednarik, Misa, Iserman in the system coming up, Cal Ritchie, NHL ready, like that infusion of youth combined with a big swing in free agency. Listen, this is why this is a two-part Lou grade. What he's able to do in the offseason, like, we're like, I see his vision, right?
And I just want to jump into what Greeny said with he wishes he moved more pieces, and I do too. But the more we're hearing about it and understanding, the more I'm like, maybe, because everyone in the playoff race was asking them to retain, right? Whether it was Lee, Pageau, whomever. And then you get to the summer and it's only 1 year left. So maybe you don't have to retain. So maybe that's part of Lou's vision, right? I don't want to retain 2.5 on Pageau. I want to go into the offseason, get the full five off the books, and then be able to throw that extra five at a name, whether it be Marner or Ehlers or a guy I like that's going to be a free agent out of Winnipeg, Neil Pionk, if you want to add to the back end. There's a number of things you can do.
There's a way you make a hockey trade.
Make a hockey trade. Right.
There may be some folks who are disgruntled. I don't know if anyone wants to throw out
another Canadian market. Or, yeah, there's another team that's close to Canada that has a struggling team.
With a star.
With a star.
With connections to the New York Islanders organization.
Connections to the New York Islanders organization that plays for a team that maybe feels he didn't make Team USA because that puts him back a little bit, but I'll leave that there.
I thought you were going to say Anthony Beauvillier. I'm very upset.
No, not quite Anthony Beauvillier. About a foot taller, but not going to get into it tonight. That's a story for another day.
No, but like, listen, if that is Lou's plan and just he wants the salary cap space, I will take a step back and I'll be like, that's smart.
And it's one of those things too, where if you're Lou, maybe you wait, you draft what you got to draft, you do what you do with the draft, and then you have a Pageau and a Pulock deal in the hopper for whoever you sign. Because maybe you sign a guy that's lesser than Marner, and you don't need to move both players. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of moving parts here. Because say you go Ehlers instead of Marner. Now maybe you don't have to get rid of Pageau and Pulock. You could just get rid of one type thing. Like, there's a lot of moving parts. And Lou, if Lou plays it properly, it could be really nice, but again, we need to see the execution. I think we could all imagine as well, as much as we dream, we could all imagine an offseason where Marner stays and Ehlers gets a bag from somewhere else he preferred, and then so on and so forth, and then we're left wondering about a player a la DeBrincat, a la Artemi Panarin, like many times in the past.
I just don't want it to turn into like an excuse. That's my point.
No, there's no, but that's what I mean.
The way,
go ahead, Jack.
The way that I looked at this deadline and like after, like when I first started watching them, the Islanders didn't make the playoffs for 6 years, and I just could not stand it after probably year two or three. It's like, we're never going to be good. And my dad always used to say, you have to be patient with these teams. They're rebuilding. They're young. It's just going to take some time. And now we have like, what, 3 months that we have to wait before we see some changes. And with this deadline, we just really have to preach patience. Pageau being moved over the summer is going to give us this flexibility. So just patience. It's all it's going to take.
All right. Well, I know we've been running long. Do want to get to some questions here.
Yes.
Got a bunch of really good questions. So we'll go through it. This first one is coming from Joe Mama.
Love Joe Mama.
And yeah, great question.
Big Joe Mama guy.
One of our number one listeners, I think.
Now, Ethan kind of got into this in his plan to make the Islanders great again, but I'm going to ask it for the wider group. So we're talking about the decor, and Joe Mama wants to know, what does an ideal decor look like for the Islanders next year? Because as we've discussed, we have a million defensemen.
Well, I don't know if there is an ideal core. I think based on what we've seen out of some of these guys this year, the highs are high and the lows are lower. And even some of the guys that have been here, you know, Pelech has certainly picked his game up a little bit, but Pulock's been miserable. Mayfield is getting scratched. Boquist, you know, these guys are what they are. I think that if we go with my plan, your strength is going to be your offense. And you know, you got a goalie who's making a gazillion dollars, and if he does his job, hopefully he can mitigate some of the weaknesses on the back end.
Yeah, I think with the as one of the Dobson haters for the most part this season, I'm actually going to say, in an ideal world, you can land that big forward while also keeping Dobson. Because as frustrating as Dobson can be, he's still, how old is he? Like 24, 25 still? He's still pretty young. And it's one of those things where you look at the right side, and if Dobson goes, you got Pulock, Mayfield, and then a fill-in guy like a D'Angelo as of right now. So I would say ideally, and keeping it as realistic as possible. Something like, you keep Dobson with Pelech, Romanov's the next pair, whether it's a Tony D'Angelo or another puck moving guy you trade for or sign someone like that. It's clear that Romanov needs to be with a puck moving guy that's not Dobson, in my opinion. And then bottom pair, you have probably, I'd like to see Isaiah George. Maybe you re-sign Perunovic. Like you have your 7D being Dobson, Pelech, Romanov, puck mover like D'Angelo. Then you have George and whether Mayfield's still here or another state at home guy like a Mayfield. And then your 7D, your Vyshnovsky-esque guy with a Perunovic or Boqvist. I think that's the most realistic ideal D at this point for next year.
Jack?
So, yeah. So since Dobson came back from injury, I thought he's looked a lot better. And trying to figure out why, and I think the answer is right in front of us. D'Angelo and Boqvist being useful on the power play has actually taken a little bit of pressure off of him. And I think he's looked a lot better when you don't rely on him to just be your only offensive defenseman. So I've been happier with Dobson's game overall. And given his age and everything, I just don't think it makes sense to move him. So going into next year, I really like Dobson paired up with Pelech. I like Romanov and D'Angelo. I think you actually have a pretty good top four that's young. So those four are good. The bottom pair, I mean, I don't know. I liked Ethan's lineup. I think it was, who was it, Ethan? Was it George and someone else?
George and Boqvist, but you can fit Mayfield in there if you so choose.
Given the fact that the cap's going up, I think Mayfield is a better player to have there than Boqvist, only because we have enough offensive defensemen. But at the same time, it's tough because Boqvist is under a really team-friendly deal. He's not going anywhere. I think we might be penciling George in a little early. Maybe somebody on the left side comes in from the out, but I don't know. That top four to me is what's most important. I think you have something there that's young and you could build around it.
If you move two of Mayfield, Pelech, and Pollock, then I'm good with any of the internal replacements that we have. I agree with Jack. I think it might be a little too early for George. And if they could, I think they'd rather have like Perunovic, honestly, start on opening night rather than George. But that could be something where halfway through the year, George gets another 30 games in Bridgeport under his belt. Then they bring him up and kind of integrate him in. But I think the key is moving at least one of Pelech and Pollock and ideally Mayfield.
Yeah, I was just going to say the common theme between all of us seems to be moving one of Pollock or Mayfield, I would say, because I think we all kind of like the Dobson-Pelech combo. I think it fits, and I think it's a little more clogged on that right side as of right now. So I think in an ideal world, it would be Pollock or Mayfield are the ones getting moved. And I like your guys' point on George as well. Like you could find his Kurt Warner, if you will, that the guy that starts the season for him. And then he comes in once he's ready or once he really shows off in the AHL, proves himself, and then he could come in and take that role.
Absolutely. So moving on, this is from Carl T at Carl TJ31. Assuming we can deal Pageau and pick the D-man, what do you think is a realistic return? And what are some realistic targets for the Isles this summer? Thanks, guys. Love the show. Thank you, Carl. So I guess if you're looking to move Pageau and as part of that trade, you can get a D-man in return. Are there any targets out there you guys have your eye on?
Not off the top of my head, to be honest.
That's a super tough question.
I could see. That's a good point, though. Like, I feel like we constantly talk about a guy like Pageau or Pollock or Mayfield as sort of cap dump moves where we just receive a pick back. There is a world where we just maybe do a player swap where it's like, oh, maybe we move Pageau because we have enough centers and you send us back a defenseman type thing.
So also, like one thing that Lou did that we haven't spoken about at all was getting Adam Beckman in here. And no one's going to talk about it, but I do think it's low-key a very underrated move. Like we all joke, even though it's not really a joke, about how atrocious Bridgeport is and how it's where prospects go to die and they're on pace to set a record for fewest number of home wins in the AHL in history, I believe. But like at some point, it can't be that way. And at some point, you need legit players in there. And Beckman's a guy who's like, I think he's like 0.75 points per game in the AHL this season. Like he's decent and he's young. And you're going to need those type of, I don't want to say veterans, but like guys who have been there and who are not 18, 19 to fill your pipeline so that you can field a competent team for when those guys like Yzerman shows up, or God forbid Cal Ritchie doesn't make the team out of camp and he has got to go to Bridgeport. Like you need guys like that.
You need
So
professionals, essentially.
it basically is what I'm saying. So, yeah, it doesn't have to necessarily be a cap dump, but it also doesn't need to be for total NHL players. Like you could get a guy like Beckman, who I think he's like 23, 24, like a young guy who can be productive in Bridgeport, but like God forbid you need to call him up, he could be a grinder and play fourth line minutes for you.
And so I was looking at a couple of potential places, maybe someone in Buffalo like a Connor Clifton, who's a right-handed defenseman. He's 29, or even an older guy like a Matt Dumba, who's going to be on an expiring contract. Like I was just looking around for guys with similar term and similar AAV on a team like a Dallas or Carolina. Maybe you look at like a Jalen Chatfield, someone like that. I think we did kind of overlook the fact that for Pageau, there could be players involved, not just futures, which is definitely something that we can do. All right. But Jack, you have anything for that, or should we go to the next one?
Next one.
Perfect. All right. So this one, let's see. This one is from Coach Jeff at Coach Jeff 24. Do you think that Lou was so transparent about getting younger because Malkin was with the team in San Jose?
Yes. I think Malkin pushed him to say certain things. And not because Lou doesn't believe it, but just to put it out in the world.
I absolutely plays a part in it. I remember like last year, a couple of years ago, when Lou finally started speaking to the media more and the team started to be more transparent and they started doing more things with season ticket holders involving the locker room and players and alumni and all that stuff. But you can't run a team like Lou wants to run a team. You just can't. You're gonna lose the support of the fan base. So I absolutely think that ownership's involvement plays a big role in this. Otherwise, Lou would still be as clandestine as he used to.
Jack.
So we all know what happened here. I literally said it like an episode ago, right? So Ledecky walked into Lou's office and Lou said, "Dude, get the fuck out of my office." And Ledecky called Malkin and was like, "Yeah, he's not listening to me, man." Malkin came down and told Lou, and now we're here. That's what I think happened.
The money came forth and set Lou straight. But I think there's a couple things that have happened too, right? Like they've loosened up a little bit. Like I'm pretty sure I saw that group of emails for season ticket holders next year. Like they're going to give locker room access and more player availability and things like that. So it definitely feels like they're forcing Lou to loosen his grip a little bit.
They just have to figure out how to show replays at UBS. I am not going to quit until they show replays.
You gotta do the QR code. Jack did it. Dance on 'em, Tony D game. Jack was doing it.
That's a true thing.
Right,
Yeah,
Jack? Didn't you
sounds
do
good.
that?
Yeah, no, I did.
Anyway, well, I'm going to do one more because this is funny. This is from Mr. Met Enthusiast at Alexander Lindor. Does anyone still believe this team can actually make the playoffs? This question is mainly directed at Ethan GSN.
No.
So it's over. They
You
are
may as well
dead.
pull up that like Jim Mora interview with the, oh no, was it Herm Edwards with the
No, it's Jim Mora. You're right.
Playoffs,
Jim
Jim
Mora.
Playoff.
Herm's a different soundbite. I forget what it is.
Herb's
So
practice. No, that's AI.
that's AI.
That's AI. What?
Wait, what is Herb's?
No,
You got to
her
think
no.
of this.
No, isn't that he is playoffs? Is it
No.
not?
No,
Yeah, he
playoffs
is.
is Jim Mora.
Playoffs is Herb. Oh wait, no,
Herm.
practice is
No,
Herb.
because I could see. No, practice
I'm
is
looking it
AI
up.
and playoffs is, because I could literally see Jim
AI
Mora
is
from like a side
practice.
angle.
AI is
Playoffs.
practice.
AI is practice,
You
100%.
play to win the game. That's what it is.
That's
That's
what it
Herm
is.
Edwards.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
Okay, so Ethan, you're a no. The season's dead. I pretty much know what Jack's going to say. Rocco, I'm curious. Dead or alive?
Dead. Been dead.
Been
Too many
dead?
teams to jump. Too many guys gone. Your best. You traded one of your best players is hurt. The other one you traded. You need Sorokin to stand on his head, and even when he does, you can't win some games. It's too much to ask for. Even in a weak East, you start to see some teams really start to, get it together. I think Brady Tkachuk might will Ottawa into the playoffs this year, honestly, and good for him if he does. But no on the Islanders making the playoffs.
And all right, Jack, let's hear it.
You guys know, delusional. So I'm gonna say we're alive, but even I'm questioning how alive
Unbelievable.
we are.
That's ridiculous.
It's gonna be really tough, but they're mathematically
Your
alive. So I
Wi-Fi
side with
has
you
had
on that
enough
one.
of your point.
Yeah, your Wi-Fi is it's a sign.
I will just say they are so dead. They're deader than dead, but I know that they're going to win like five in a row at some point, and we're going to hit April, and they're going to be about 4 points out with like two teams to jump, and we're going to be talking about, well, if they just win two or three more in a row, then maybe. I know that that's going to happen, but they
I
stink. They're
hope
dead.
so.
It's over. Well, that's it for all the questions. Again, thank you for everybody for submitting those. I don't have any other green room stats or anything else on my end. So, Ethan?
That's it. Thanks for listening. Long episode. If you made it to the end, we appreciate you. Follow us on Twitter. Trying to hit that 1,000 follower mark. Give us a 5-star review if you enjoyed on Spotify or iTunes. If you didn't enjoy, then don't fucking touch it. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around. Io's house in the